Everyone, good morning. Can hear? Okay, good. Let us pray. Father God, we commit ourselves to you as we meditate upon this passage of scriptures in the gospel. Lord, that we pray that your spirit in our hearts will help us to understand, Lord, how good you are to us. You are our good shepherd. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does the word good means when we say the good shepherd? There was this incident in Australia. You know, sometimes babies are left in the car for a short while and the mother will rush in to buy something and then come out again. And sometimes they spend longer than they should. And in the hot summer day, it's dangerous for babies to be left in the car alone. So there was this particular case, this story that I hear, right? That a mother left the baby in the car and left the car key inside and locked the door. And then she realized it was a hot day and she panicked because she couldn't open the door. She tried all ways, you know, to open the door. And that was a long time ago, before all this YouTube show you how to automatically open your door. Right? That was a long time ago, right? 20 years ago. Okay. So she couldn't open the door. And she was afraid that the child would be dehydrated and so forth and fall sick. And so in her anxiety, she remembered to pray. Say, God, please send someone to help me to open the door. Immediately after she prayed, you know, a man appeared, a huge size, rugged man, muscular. And when the mother saw the man, the mother got frightened. He said, oh, don't tell me I'm going to get robbed today. But lo and behold, this man came and said, ma'am, do you need help? And so the mother said, my baby is inside there and I left my car key inside the car and I locked it and I couldn't open the door. The man said, okay, give me a moment. Give me a minute. So the man disappeared into the building, came out with a wire and within second, unlocked the door. And the mother quickly grabbed the baby and hugged the baby and said to the man, say, thank you. You're good at unlocking the car door. And the man says, yes, ma'am, I'm good at unlocking the car door. I just came out from prison for stealing cars. And so the mother say, thank God he sent a professional. All right. When Jesus said that I'm the good shepherd, he is not saying that I'm the professional shepherd. Because good can be I'm professional. Good can be, you know, I'm good at stealing things, so I'm a professional. Good can be I'm a good banker, I'm a professional. So Jesus said that when I'm a good shepherd, he's not saying that I'm a professional shepherd. He's not saying that. So what does it mean to say that Jesus is a good shepherd? In the verse, in the passage that we read there today in the gospel, the first statement of Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The word good means noble. There is two Greek word adjective for good. One could be good in terms of, oh, this is a good buy. This is a good buy. This is a valuable. All right. So that's one way of saying good, one form of adjective. But another adjective is more like, oh, this is good. This is balanced. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. Although the meanings of both words can be overlapped, right? Jesus used the second word. That is, it's beautiful. It's good. In terms of it's beautiful. It's perfect. And when you refer to a person's character and so forth, it's noble or praiseworthy. So when Jesus said that I'm a good shepherd, Jesus is saying that he is a noble shepherd. He's a noble shepherd that come to us. So in what way is he a noble shepherd? So that's where in verse 11, the second part, it says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. When he said that, at this point in time, he was telling the disciples and also those who are listening to him that he's going to die. The disciples could not understand, the people could not understand, but Jesus knew that he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. He's not talking about one sheep. He's talking about the flock. He's talking about all that he's going to save. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. And the reason why he needs to lay down his life for the sheep is because he wants to save us from condemnation. You see, we are all condemned from birth. The moment Adam and Eve sin entered into the world, we are all condemned. We are born into this world condemned. Many of us think that, oh, I'm no good because I sin. Actually, that is not the starting point. The starting point is that we are condemned already, not because we have sinned. We are condemned because we are born in Adam. And because we are born in Adam, we sin because we are condemned. And certainly our sin need to be paid for, our own sin need to be paid for, in as much as the sin of Adam had to be paid for. And so when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus died to save us from the sin of Adam. Because when we are born in Adam, we have suffered the penalty of sin. The sin that Adam had committed, the penalty has to be paid for by all of us. And so Jesus came and laid down his life to pay the penalty of Adam's sins, and certainly including our own sin, because our own sin need to be paid for too. So by his death, Jesus paid the penalty of Adam's sin and our sins. And by his blood, he empowered us with the Holy Spirit to resist the power of Adam's sin and our own addiction to sin. Sin, our own sin, are actually addictions. Why we keep on repeating our sins? Because we are addicted to our sin. Why are we selfish? Because we are addicted to selfishness. Why are we arrogant and proud and so forth? Because we are addicted to that. Certainly, there's worse form of sin like addicted to pornography and so forth. Sins are for our addiction. But the power of sin, including our addiction, can be broken because God has given us the Holy Spirit. So by his death, Jesus empowered us to resist the power of sin. So when Jesus laid down his life for us, the noble shepherd, he laid down his life for us so that we might live with God forever and ever. When Jesus laid down his life, he laid down his life for the whole flock, for everyone who believe in him. So that's why he's a noble shepherd. In verse 11, 12 to 13, Jesus is a noble shepherd because he cares for his sheep. Normally when we read verse 12 and verse 13, we compare the good shepherd with the hired hand. Because verse 12 says, he who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, see the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flee. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You see, it's natural for us to read verse 12 and verse 11 together, because in the context, this is what we are told to do. We read the Bible, we read in the context. So it's natural to compare, to do that. Unless we need the context itself, there is cue for us to think otherwise. Right? So when Jesus laid down his life, he laid down his life to save us from condemnation. By who? Not by the wolves, but by God. God is not a wolf. We are all born condemned by God because we are in Adam. Therefore, Jesus laid down his life is to save us from God's condemnation of us. That's why the Bible says that God sent his son to the world not to condemn us, because we are already condemned, but to save us. And so Jesus laid down his life to save us from God's condemnations. So therefore, what is the comparison there in verse 12 to 13? The comparison between the noble shepherd and the hired hand is in verse 12 and in verse 12 to 13. It's not about fighting to save the sheep. It's about the sheep belongs to who? Verse 12 says the sheep belongs not to the hired hand. And the hired hand does not care for the sheep. The implication then is the sheep belongs to God. We all belong to God. The whole of humanity belongs to God. And therefore a hired hand will be something like a professional. How much do you pay a professional to die for you? Can you ever pay a professional to die for you? If we ask people to do things for us, how much do you want them to repay them, you know, to do things for us? We expect them to do it well as professionals. But do we pay them to die for us? And in the security services, we may be a personal bodyguard, you know. You protect your clients. And certainly the amount of money paid to the professional bodyguards is huge, because the risk that they take, they may get injured and they may die in the process of protecting the client. But even that payment is not to paying the bodyguard to die for them, but to protect them. Therefore, when we think of the higher hand in verse 12 and 13, don't think of them as bad, you know, they are bad people, you know, they are not responsible. No, a higher hand means that they are not slaves. Because in those days, slaves got no choice. But a hired hand means that they are paid. There's an agreement in payment. It's an employment. So, in other words, they are professionals. Therefore, The reason why the hired hand will not die for the sheep is because the hired hand don't own the sheep. God owns us. Humanity belongs to God. That is why God cares for humanity. That's why the noble shepherd came to die for us, because he cares for humanity. So Jesus said, I am the noble shepherd. I lay down my life because I care for you. God cares for all us. That is why he's the noble shepherd. He owns us and he cares for us. Because we belong to him, he cares for us. That is why Jesus came into this world to die, because the world belongs to him. The third thing about the noble shepherd is that the noble shepherd invites us into intimacy. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Then he compared this with this relationship between him and the shepherd, the shepherd and the sheep, between Jesus and us. He compared that with, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, that relationship that Jesus wants from us is the same relationship that he has with the Father. Think for a moment, what does that mean? Jesus died for us to save us from our sins, so that he and us can be close, can be intimate, just like he and the Father are intimate. The intimacy between God and the Son, or Father and the Son, are perfect intimacy. And now Jesus is saying that, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own knows me. In other words, Jesus wants us to be intimate with him. Intimacy, salvation is for intimacy. Salvation is for you to know God, to know Jesus, just as Jesus knows the Father and the Father knows him. So the evaluation of our life is not about just our sin being forgiven. The evaluation of our life should be, am I knowing God more and more every day? Because intimacy is not just getting to know how I buy, at a very surface level. Intimacy means that we are able to talk, able to share at a deeper level. And Jesus wants us to know him just like he knows the Father, and the Father knows him. Do you know the noble shepherd? Do you know Jesus in the same way as Jesus knows the Father and the Father knows him? Let me say this. Jesus knows us perfectly. He knows us in and out. Before we say anything, he already knows what we're going to say. Before we do anything in hidden from people, no one else sees but Jesus sees. So in other words, Jesus knows us perfectly. He knows us intimately in every details of our life. Isn't it that frightening to a certain extent? It is. But the wonderful news is, because in Christ we are forgiven. So even when Jesus sees you in your sin, he doesn't condemn you. He knows. He knows you are in sin. But because you are in him, he knows that you are sinning. Yes, he wants you to confess. He wants you to repent. And in the sense that confession, repentance is a form of drawing near to God, is intimacy. But he wants more than that. He wants you to go even deeper in the sense that he wants you to come to him and pray and talk to him and to know him as much as he knows the Father and the Father knows him. So the model of intimacy is about Jesus and the Father. The relationship that the Father and Jesus have, that model is the model for all us to cultivate. So that is what Jesus wants us from us. So the question we always ask ourselves is, do I know the noble shepherd in the same way as he knows the Father and the Father knows him? Am I growing deeper in my walk with Jesus in intimacy? Do I understand God more and more? I can tell you, the more you understand God, the more you understand yourself. Because you realize that the more you understand God, you understand how much God loves you, the more you realize that how sinful we are, but yet God loves us. How imperfect we are. But that's the wonderful news, right? That in Christ, we are all forgiven. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So that is the third thing. The fourth thing is, the noble shepherd reaches out to all his sheep. Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. In the context here, in the John Gospel, at this point in time, Jesus was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus came into the world. He came in through the nation of Israel, right? Just bear in mind that Israel today may not be exactly the Israel that is, you know, all right? But in Jesus' time, the nation of Israel, Jesus came to the world through the nation of Israel. He was born a Jew. And he came to tell the Jews, hey, you are wrong. You are not following God. Which is what is happening today too in the modern Israel. So Jesus came and tell them, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus came and talked to the Jews. But Jesus also knew that after him, the message that he has, or he himself, has other sheep that's outside, that's the Gentiles, in other fold, that he will go and preach the gospel to them. That's why we have the Paul and so forth will be sent forth to preach the gospel. And they will respond. And so when Jesus talked about, I must bring them also, it showed to us that Jesus is reaching out to all his sheep out there. Even today, as much as we already know Jesus, there are many others out there who are the sheep of Jesus who have yet to hear about Jesus. And that Jesus is reaching out to them. And if we can participate with that, with what Jesus is doing, that is missions. So today, Jesus continued to have one flock. Not many flocks. One. There may be many churches. There may be many denominations. But one flock. One shepherd. There's only one. So we have to be very careful, you know, while we have our own denomination distinctiveness. We have to be very careful to bear and to bring a balance, to realize that our denomination does not define the whole flock. Jesus is the one who defines the whole flock. Jesus is the one who is the one shepherd, the noble shepherd. And he has only one flock. And in that one flock, there is different denominations, churches. Just as in the Reformation, there is not only just Martin Luther, there is John Wycliffe, there is others, Thomas Cranmer, and so on. There's other reformers too during the time. And therefore, as long as we all believe in the same Jesus, we follow the same Jesus, we are to be in fellowship even though we may have different distinctiveness. So what is this noble, this Jesus that we are following about? We recite every week the same passage, the Apostle Creed, where we say that I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. If you were to read this passage and think for a moment, there is no controversy here. There is no controversy. Because if there's a controversy, if you don't believe in this, then you are not following Christ or the Christ that we profess to believe. Because this description is about Christ himself. God only Son. Jesus is the God only Son. Conceived by the power, by the Holy Spirit. Born of Virgin Mary. Jesus cannot be born with someone else. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He did not suffer recently. He suffered under Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago. Was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. So in other words, this description of the noble shepherd is a description that if everyone who believes in this person, this noble shepherd, we are in fellowship. That's why Jesus said, there's only one shepherd and one flock. There's only one shepherd and one flock. That does not mean that we do not have our distinctiveness, because we are all human. When we read the Bible, we cannot fully agree and have different opinions and so forth. Yeah, that's our distinctiveness. It's okay. But Jesus only had one flock with many denominations and churches inside there. So that's why Jesus is reaching out into the world. And there are many other people out there in the world that are waiting to be called into the one flock. The last thing about the noble shepherd is that the noble shepherd does all things for us willingly. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus came to this world to die willingly. He came and gave his life willingly. You know, sometimes we may have this impression, you know, because Jesus is God's son, right? God sent him into the world. Maybe he come unwillingly. He's like a son, got no choice but obey the father. We may not say it out, but sometimes we may feel that way. God did send Jesus into the world, but Jesus came willingly too. Because Jesus himself is God. The John Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, all things was made through him, and without him was not made anything made that was made. And this Word became flesh, and we call him Jesus. So in other words, the noble shepherd is God himself. The noble shepherd is God himself who came to die willingly for us. Why? Well, some of the reason we already mentioned, because we belong to him. That's why he came to die. He didn't pay someone else to die for us. He came to die for himself. He cares for us, so he came to die willingly. There is one more reason I'd like to suggest to you, which we seldom think about. God took responsibility for his action. God took personal responsibility for his action. You know what's the personal responsibility? God created us. If God don't create us, there's no more sin. Adam and Eve will not sin. But God created us. He brought us into existence. And we go haywire. God took personal responsibility to die for us. So this is something that we all need to bear in mind. God himself died for us willingly. That is why Jesus is the noble shepherd. Because he willingly died for us. So in summary, Jesus is the noble shepherd. The noble shepherd laid down his life for us. The noble shepherd owns us and cares for us. The noble shepherd invites us into intimacy because he desires intimacy with us. The noble shepherd reaches out to us. We are saved because Jesus reached out to us, and Jesus is reaching out to others who are yet to be saved. And the noble shepherd does all things for us willingly. That is how much God loves us and cares for us. And this is the noble shepherd that we worship. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, that you love us, you own us, and you take personal responsibility for our actions because we went haywire, we went astray, and you die to bring us back to you. And you desire that we learn to walk with you and to be close to you and to have an intimate relationship with you. And I pray that, Lord, you help all us through your spirit that's in our hearts to draw near to you in intimacy. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.